Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper, and we're going to talk about something that deals with your life every day, has consequences in your life every day. It's not taught in school. Most people don't realize what it is. It's not progressive. It is very regressive, and it is destructive. And it's just something I think that as a free, civilized nation should understand how their government works. And it's the fourth branch of the government. The fourth branch. The one that actually has more power than the presidency, has more power than the legislature, the Congress and the Senate, and more power than the judicial part of the government. What? The fourth branch? You weren't taught that in school? You weren't taught how the real government works? Oh, you may be in a little bit of shock today. And the reason I'm saying that is Travis let me know that on the last rant, I've got the F the Police band's name wrong. And I don't know what I said, but I could say it if I said the words, but I'd probably be under a jail somewhere from the PC police, but it's NWA, and I said it some other way. So he was kind of saying how at the rant, then he asked, what's the rant going to be on this week? And I went, the fourth branch of government. And he goes, what? I thought there was only three. And I go, that's what the Constitution says, but oh, absolutely, there's a fourth branch of the government. He goes, well, who are they? And he went through the Congress, and I'm like, yep, that's constitutional. The judiciary, yep, that's constitutional. And the executive, which is the president, yep, that's constitutional. Well, what's the other one? He just assumed it was something like lying, is actually what he said. But really what it is a fourth branch of government that you see very clearly in other countries, but it's not as easy to see in ours, even though it's more powerful than Congress. And if you don't believe me, then how come the Congress cannot even get the FBI to show them the documents that they're required by law? They are underneath Congress, and they can't even get the FBI to give them documents on what's going on in the FBI. It's the fourth branch of government. Now, you see this in different countries. It's very obvious in communist countries. It is very obvious in socialist countries, and it's more hidden inside of a country like ours, but it's everywhere. And people are always upset over what this fourth branch does, how they get funded, the power that they have, and you know who they always run to? The executive or the congressional part of the government. Congress, Senate, or the President. And you know what the Congress or the President can do? Not a whole lot. Now, interestingly enough, Trump just did something that probably sent shockwaves through the fourth branch of the government. He made it easy, or easier, or even possible to fire a civil employee of the federal government. He had to pass a executive order, or it could have been a law, I'm not really sure, but he had to pass something to even for the idea that a civil employee of the federal government could get fired, no matter what. The VA kills veterans? The EPA poisons a river. They confiscate someone's house and they were wrong. They're taking money out of people's bank accounts and there's no proof of why they're doing it. That's the power of the government right there. And it's not the Congress or the Senate or the judges. It's the administrative. Now, whether you like Steve Bannon or not, I'm not even going to get into good, bad, or ugly. Everybody's got their own opinions about the man, and I think that's fine. But he said something when he became the White House senior advisor. He said there were three priorities that they were going to have. One was national security and sovereignty. The next was economic nationalism, which means America first. If you can imagine, a country actually has to state that. And the third, which caused a lot of people to not even understand what he was saying, and a lot of journalists didn't quite get what he was saying, and most of the people in the country had no idea what he was saying. And the third thing he said was a deconstruction of the administrative state. Now, as much as I want to have national security and sovereignty, it's not going to happen with administrative state. As much as I would like to have economical nationalism, none of that's going to happen very well as long as we have an administrative state. That is the fourth branch of the government. With more power than the presidency, with more power than Congress, and more power than a judge. They rule America. So when a lot of people get upset when it comes voting time. They hear people say, I'm not going to waste my time to go vote. I'm not going to go stand in line to waste my vote. It's not going to make any difference what my vote is. You know what we're going to talk about today? It's proof that they're absolutely right. Now, most people are saying it because they don't like the two people that are on the ballot and one of them is going to get elected. And the way that I've always looked at that is kind of like porta potties. You have one candidate that you're going to have to go to the porta potty after a Lollapalooza in 95 degrees heat, where everybody's been peeing and pooping in that thing, and you've got to drink from the porta potty. And then you've got another candidate that's at the same 100 degree weather with 10,000 people using the porta potty, and you get to drink the porta potty liquefied yumminess out of a red Solo cup. That's your two choices. Most of the time, I've been around for a while, and that's pretty much what it's normally like. And you get to fight and argue with your friends over, do you just drink the sludge out of the porta potty straight head first, or do you get to drink it out of a clean Solo cup? And you argue, and you go back and forth, and people get in fights, and you're all over Facebook and Instagram and Twitters, and you're watching the news, and you're worried about your team because your team drinking porta potty sludge out of a Solo cup, or you're about drinking porta potty sludge straight out of the toilet bowl. And that's what most people are talking about. But they're truer than most people realize. The administrative state is going to keep it going the way that it is, and there's nothing the presidency is going to do about it. Not in 4 or 8 years. And there's nothing the Congress or Senate's going to do about it in 4 or 8 years. And the judicial system has already became a political part of the state, so they're not even judges anymore, and most of them are going to go with whoever their political leanings are. So who runs everything? The administrative state. Is it constitutional? No. Not a little bit, not maybe. Not because a lawyer can try to put some dots together to say that there's authority here because of. No, it's not. The Constitution's very clear. You have the legislative, which is Congress and Senate. They pass laws. They set budgets. They do stuff like that. You have the executive branch. What most people don't realize about the presidency is he's the CEO. His job is to execute the orders that are coming from the Congress and the Senate. And the judicial system is supposed to make sure that they're constitutional. And there's a separation of powers there for a good reason. So where does the administrative state sit in anywhere in that in the Constitution? Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. I want you to think about something. Let's say that, let me tell you a quick story. When I was doing art shows, I was up in Michigan City. It's either Michigan or Indiana. It's one of those, it's on one of the Great Lakes. It's got great big sand dunes on it. And we were there at an Oktoberfest, and they had a big art show thing there. Coming from Tennessee, we're not as heavily regulated as you guys in Michigan. When I joke around and say communist state and stuff like that, it's because of this and things like this. But you have way more regulations. You have way more permits. You have all this type of stuff. See, all that's administrative. That's not constitutional. So me and my wife, and it was one of the few shows we did at night, so we had to set up lights. Now, I've been an entrepreneur. I've been in the military. I actually had a construction business before this. Never knew who these people were. Never came up in my life at all. So we have to hang these like Christmas lights so people can see the artwork. So if they decide they like the artwork, they can buy the artwork. So in most of our shows are during the day. So we got a bunch of Christmas lights. I went and scrounged up a bunch of extension cords. They were going to have power at each site for this. One of my extension cords probably got hit by a lawnmower or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I cut it. I spliced it back together, used electrical tape, and I use that all the time. So I had this extension cord with electrical tape that I fixed, and it was plugged into some of the lights. And this little guy comes up. He had his little blue pants on, his little white shirt, and his little bitty nerdy tie, and his little member's jacket, and his glasses, and his slicked over hair, and he had his little notebook with him. And he comes up and he starts looking around. I just figured he had something to do with the show. I didn't pay any attention. We're busy. We're getting ready for the show. We're putting up artwork and screens and all that type of stuff. He turns around and says, you need to unplug the lights and get a... he had some type of word he used for the extension cord. Basically, he was telling me that the extension cord I was using was unacceptable and I had to take it down and I had to get a brand new one that had a certain tag on it. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know if he was just a busybody. I didn't know what it was. We were busy. The show opened in about an hour. He said he was from OSHA. Didn't know what OSHA was. All I know is there was a guy telling me that I couldn't use a perfectly good extension cord in an art show and that I must go get one that has got some type of tag on it. So I'm not going to tell you exactly what I told him because there could be children listening, but let's just say he got out of my space really quick. And he was shocked that I dared tell him basically in a very not nice way to go pound sand. He couldn't believe it. He kind of whimpers off. He comes back with the show director. She's embarrassed and she's upset. And she explains to me that I have to get a new extension cord. And I told her that one was perfectly fine. She said I had to get it because of OSHA laws. I'm looking around. I'm like, OSHA laws? I'm not in the ocean. She said, OSHA, safety. I'm like, what are you talking about? And this guy puffs his little chest out. I work for OSHA, and if you don't do this, we're going to fine you. And it was something like $5,000 a day and this, that, and the other. And I'm looking at him like a wolf looking at a rabbit that hadn't eaten in 3 days. He kind of steps behind the woman because administrators are basically, in for the most part, little cowards. And she explained to me what OSHA was, what their power was, that OSHA could shut down the whole show. We're talking bands, all these breweries were there, shut down the whole show because I had a perfectly workable extension cord. She said, if I go get an extension cord, would you please use it? And I was like, fine. So she went and got me an extension cord with his little tag on there, and I plugged it in, did this exactly what mine did. And this little guy, you know, was like he won a massive victory. That was really probably the first time I've had to deal with the fourth branch of the government. See, what I didn't realize is they could have fined me $1 million. And if I would have not paid it, because I wouldn't have had it, this is how that works in an administrative side of the government. You have to go to a court that's inside of OSHA. Do you know who picks the judge? OSHA. Do you know who the judge works for and gets paid by? OSHA. Do you know that they don't have to prove that I did anything? I have to prove that I didn't. It's not like the court systems where it is beyond doubt. It's if it's possible that it's 51% of what the OSHA guy said, then I automatically lose. And if I appeal, I get another OSHA employee as a judge. Same goes for the IRS. Same goes for the EPA. Same goes for every one of these other agencies out there that are not constitutional. Now, how do these organizations get paid? Through regulation. Now, regulation sounds like it is legitimate. It could be, but most of them are not. Who, by the Constitution, has the authority to pass laws? Congress and Senate. Does anybody, have you ever heard of this little thing back in, I don't know, like the 1760s and 1770s about taxation without representation? Does that ring a bell with anybody? Have you ever read the Constitution and read that in there? That's why there's a Senate and a Congress. Because if they start taxing out of control, or they start doing stuff that they're doing now and people don't seem to care about, we could, in one election, kick every single person out of the Congress or Senate. They're supposedly representing us, and we supposedly have the power to make them go away. Taxation with representation. With the OSHA guy, what representation would I have had if he would have said that I could not have used that court and I refused to? None. Can I vote the OSHA administrator out of his job? Nope. Can I go and sue OSHA? Yeah, it's not going to do any good. So what representation do I have against the EPA, the IRS, any of these groups that make their own regulations and generate money from fines that they come up with, not Congress, they come up with, which is basically a tax. So, like, you may not know this, but when you pay your internet bill, you're paying money to these groups. When you pay your cell phone bill, you're paying money to these groups. When you're getting taxed for your land, for your kids to go to the school where the best one in the country is not even 50%, where an eighth grader can read at an eighth grade level, that's the best in the country, guys. That's in Austin, Texas. You're paying for that incompetence through regulation, because they go, we got a budget of $240 million and we need to raise $240 million, so we're going to do it through regulations, and we're going to have these fees, which are taxes, thrown in there, and we're going to get paid by this. Next year, if we want to have more business trips or better office space, we'll just raise the fees again. Now, people that are paying the fees have absolutely no representation inside of that, because you can't do anything with them. The president can't even fire them. How is that possible? Because they're their own branch of the government with way more power. Because if the IRS or the EPA locks onto you for some reason, they can come in and go, hey, you spilled a drop of oil. It's going to take at least $300,000 for us to get a contractor in there to scoop that little piece of dirt up. And your fine that you should pay us is another $2.6 million. and we're going to take the property, and we're going to take your house, and we're going to empty your bank accounts, and we're going to take a left nut, and there's nothing you can do about it. And you can appeal, and I'll have Bob be the judge, you know, the one down the hall, and he's going to obviously agree with us because he knows we need to have money to rock for our budget, and you're going to pay it. That's what it is. So they raise money through fees that they don't have the legal constitutional basis to do it. Now Congress and the Senate have become so lazy that they allow this to happen. And more importantly than that, now it's culturally accepted. So every time you see a regulation that doesn't come from Congress or Senate, it is not a law. There is no constitutional backing for it. There was no representation for it at all. But the judicial system gives it the credence of a law, and there's no way that you're getting out of it. Not at all. It's not voluntary. They will bring the force of the government on top of you to force you to do it for an unconstitutional law. See, this is how it happens. You can see this with Obamacare. If you look in the Obamacare, the Secretary of Health was giving very arbitrary, very large-reaching parameters to set up all the fines and fees and regulations of Obamacare. Congress passed Obamacare. All the stuff that's in it that's causing all the chaos, that wasn't constitutionally passed. That's been added on by someone you can't vote out of office. And you can't get them fired. I mean, you know, every now and then, like at the VA, you'll see, the head. But see, the head of the organization is actually can be fired from the president. He can't fire a secretary. Think of how strange that is. The CEO can't fire a secretary. And we wonder why in the world everything's to be so screwed up. So when we go and vote, guys, we're not even voting for the people that affect our lives on a daily basis. It's people we don't even know who they are. They're just like this virus that self-feeds off everything else. And they set up these little rules all by themselves. And people just go along with it. It's, to me, it's insane. Now, when did this start in America? Very clearly, two separate presidents. Now, Travis, I know your dad loves FDR. He may not like him so much after this. The first one was Wilson. Wilson was very clear, wrote books about he wanted to have the government of administrators. Did anybody ever notice how much Obama talked about administrators? The fourth branch. Because that way, the regressive liberals, because saying they're progressive is just kind of moronic, but the regressive liberals wanted to be able to push their agenda, which they can do through the fourth branch of government because there is no consequences to them whatsoever. And they can plan everybody's life, and they can try to plan the economy and try to plan all this through administration because there's no way they're completely insulated from the people that they go out and destroy their lives or change their lives or take money out of their pocket. Wilson was very frustrated because the Constitution limits the government. We're one of the first countries in the world to have laws that do not restrict the people, but restrict the government. So when people say, well, that's just an old document, this, that, and the other, that drives me crazy. Canada has a constitution, but the government gives them all their rights. which means they can take them away whenever they want to. England somewhat has a constitution, and it's all about the government's power, not the people's power. And they get upset when, you know, they're always talking about democracy and this, that, and the other. The government doesn't care. All the laws are in their favor. America is the only country that I know of where all the laws are in mine and your favor, except for the fourth branch of government. And having to deal with voters is messy, and people get upset when you screw them over, and they can go out and get other people. But if it's just like this EPA group or the Board of Education group, or, I mean, it's just, you know, there's 100,000 people work there, and it's just this, you know, mechanism or organism that you can't pick anybody out, and it's you just get frustrated and quit. No matter how big the injustice is, who are you going to go in there and try to do anything with? All they're going to do is just send you around to different floors till you get frustrated and leave. That's the plan. Now, if it's a congressman that passes a law, you can go straight to that congressman. You can run against that congressman. You can do things to make his life miserable so he gets kicked out of office. Can't do that with the fourth branch of government. Wilson loved the idea that they set up during World War I that they could manage America, administrate, plan for. People got so shook up after Wilson that it went to the opposite, kind of like you're seeing now with Trump. Lo and behold, here comes World War II and FDR. He was very clear that he wanted it to be an administrative government, not a representative republic. Oh no, you can't get your stuff done that way. That's too difficult. But administrators can do whatever they want to do. So he started pushing more and more towards administration. That's where you start seeing all of these different organizations pop up. Look all back through history. When you get the Board of Education from Carter, all of these different park services and food stamps and Social Security and all that come from regressive liberals because they're all administrative based. We have no recourse against this form of government at all. This is how Russia, under communism, how that worked. You had people in offices that would decide how much grain would be grown and how much bread would be baked and what's the size of the shoes that would be done and who would have cows and what was the logistic route. They tried to administrate an economy, which doesn't work. That's why they starved. That's why Russia fell apart. You can sit in socialist countries right now in Venezuela. You try to control the economy through administration and try to control people through administration. It all falls apart because you can't plan for an economy. Because there's no way, guys, that you've got someone that thinks they're so smart in academia that they could think that there's going to be a guy in Tennessee that's going to start a swimming pool business and then start a trapping business and then a lure business and then branches off into teaching business courses and he's got a nursery and he's starting a farm. See, administrator, that'd make administrator head blow up. You can't plan for that. But they want to. See, for me, once I get to a certain level of selling plants, I've got to go get a license. Where does that money go? To the state, some of it to the federal, to administrators, to fund their budgets. Is it anybody's business if I sell a chestnut tree to somebody? They don't care until I hit a certain money amount. Then I've got to get a license and I've got to get inspected. And who do you think pays the inspection fee? Of course I do. And who's going to pay for the stamps that I've got to have on the boxes if I get to that size? I do. They keep building on top of everything that they do where it's just taking money and taking money and taking money and making it more difficult and more difficult and more difficult. The fourth branch. When Bannon said that, that really got my attention. In most people, it sounds like some type of conspiracy type thing. When it was clear, beyond any reasonable person's logical way of looking at the IRS during Obama, targeting and stopping 501c3, which are nonprofits, of anybody that was conservative, using the IRS as a weapon, super clear. Nothing happened to anybody in the IRS. They just moved them around to a different administrative level. Most of them got raises. They're still going to retire and make more money than you. Now, interestingly enough, administrators, the administrative part of the government, actually makes more money, almost 50% more than whatever their service is in the private sector. Why? Because they can just take it from you. The little guy from OSHA probably made about 120 grand a year. At the time, I was probably making 20,000. How could he get paid so much? Because they protect their own. The iron law of bureaucracy is held through anything that you want to look through from any organization, from the beginning of organizations till now. Most of them start because there's a purpose. Over time, that purpose is kind of still there, but the organization is there to protect the organization. It's to protect the members of the organization. EPA is not about the environment. It's about the EPA. It's about the agenda. It's about the payroll. It's about the money coming in. It's about the power. It's not about protecting the environment. The Department of Education, what are they up to now? A couple of billion? And they don't teach a single child anything. Nothing. They administrate. They set the rules. They pass regulations that aren't laws and fees that we have to pay for that we can't even vote them out of office for. And they grow. And they grow and they grow. If you ever want to teach your kids what cancer is, show them the Department of Education or the EPA or the IRS or OSHA or any of these other organizations like the TSA. That is a direct example of sales that maybe start healthy and then they get corrupt. And they fall to the iron law of bureaucracy, and they metastasize, and they grow, and they conquer, and they eat, and they feast off other healthy cells. That's what the fourth branch of government does. It's what it does in all communist countries, because you're either in the party or you're those people. You're either with us or you're against us. So every time you see the word regulation, guys, or you hear of an agency where there's fines that aren't coming from Congress, which is almost all of them, in the 1950s, the administrators were still not sure how far they could go. And the rules and regulations that the administrators put out was about 5,000 pages. That's all of them combined. In the 1980s, it was 172,000 pages of regulations. It's over 200,000 now. See, I've said it before, most people don't quite understand what I'm saying. When I say that the average person, the soccer mom, the preacher, the guy at the gas station, the guy that's a farmer, the guy that's going to work in a factory somewhere, they commit 2.3 felonies a day that they could go to jail for, lose the right to vote, lose their guns, get massive amounts of fines, be incarcerated 2.3 times a day. So that means the average person in America commits over 700 felonies a year that are good people, not criminals, good people. Why? Because of administrators. Which means when you really piss off an administrator, they got you. You don't even know how they're going to get you, but they're going to get you. Because you've committed 700 felonies last year. If you're listening to me, you have committed 700 felonies. If you think you're the most straight-laced, law-abiding citizen in the history of the United States. Administrators. The fourth branch of government. Trump wants to talk about bleeding the swamp. That's what he's going to have to get rid of. You want to have people in Congress and Senate that aren't so lazy and spineless that they take back the rule of the Constitution where they make the laws. Letting Betty down at the local office, who doesn't ever have to see people, come up with, I think this sounds good. And every time they do that, they bring in the farthest consequences of that regulation, and they don't care. The farthest consequence of every regulation, rule, and law that's made is a citizen going to prison or killed. So every time you hear a law, think about it this way. It's illegal to have a green Jeep because that's the color of my Jeep. And a lot of the regulations that come out of these administrators, it's about like that. Because somewhere there's a paint company that only sells red paint, and they lobby these people, and they have reasons why green paint's bad, and you can't see it good in the dark, and yada, yada, yada. And they get a regulator that goes, yeah, maybe red's a better color, so we'll pass a regulation on it. And I go, no, I like my green Jeep, and I'm going to keep my green Jeep. There's rules out there on a green Jeep. I don't paint my Jeep, and I don't get a new Jeep. A policeman shows up. He sees my green Jeep. You can't have a green Jeep. Well, I like green. It doesn't matter. It's against the regulations. Well, you got to get it painted. No, I'm not going to paint it. Then we're going to tow it. No, you're not. And it keeps escalating. All the way to the point, just like the black guy that got choked out in New York City because he was selling singles of cigarettes. When New York passed that law, the end consequence of that law is death or imprisonment. That's how every single law that you read, it's going to come down to eventually death or imprisonment for citizens. So when you hear these laws that don't sound like they really make any difference, think of the consequences behind them. Because if I refused to give up my green Jeep, and I refused to let them tow my Jeep, how do you think that's going to escalate with a policeman or a sheriff or a state trooper? They're going to put hands on me to restrain me to let them do it. If I don't let them restrain me and I fight back, it's going to escalate till guns are drawn. Since I carry a gun 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year, I feel for my life, I pull my gun. I'm going to lose that battle because there's always going to be more of them than there is me. So because I want a green Jeep, the end result of every law is a citizen that's probably going to end up in jail or dead. Just like passing the law that you can't sell single cigarettes because the state's worried they're going to lose out on revenue. Most of those come from administrators. See, Trump's trying to do something, so if they pass a new reg, they got to get rid of two regs. I mean, to me, it would be pretty easy to have 50 citizens randomly picked from one from each state that goes to Washington, they go through the regs, and they go, stupid, gone, stupid, gone, stupid, gone, stupid, gone. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't put lead in the water. Oh, that's okay. Sorry, Flint. That was the administrators that didn't do anything about that. But you know how many administrators are in trouble? Zero. Zero. Who passes the pipe regulations, and who passes the water plant regulations, and who passes the testing regulations, and who tests the testers? Administrators. None of them ever have any consequences. So if you want to have America to be America, well, you can have a green Jeep if you want one. Or you can start up a business like Uber without having the administrators come down on top of your head the way they're doing Uber right now. You've got to get rid of the fourth branch of government. For one, it's unconstitutional. There's no law backing that. You know, I've had several people say that it doesn't sound very respectable when you say that I don't care about the rule of law, because there is no rule of law. Most laws that we think are laws are not laws, they're regulations by people that don't have the legal right to make them with authority. Yeah, we're not a nation of laws anymore. We're a nation of regulations by people that we have no representation with, and we get taxed by them, and we have no representation for those taxes. I'm just being a realist about the world that's around us. I absolutely love America. I don't consider Washington, D.C. America. There's nothing American about it. There's nothing constitutional about it. Nothing. Not anymore. Everybody that's making the rules, you didn't vote for. And when they do pass something, they let all the administrators make all the rules after they just do a yay or an a, and they have no idea what's being done, nor do they care. But please donate, because the other people are worse than we are. Please donate so we can let you drink out of the porta potty sludge with a clean solo cup, so we just don't have to dunk your head in there. See, we're better than them. We don't make you dunk your whole head in there. We just make you drink the poop. Are we going to be able to fix this? I have no idea. I just try to stay away from them as much as possible. What else are you going to do? Because whether it's right or wrong, legal or illegal, they will still send people to your house in Kevlar vest and guns that will either take you to prison or kill you. Or take your property. Or take your money out of your bank account without you even knowing it, which they do every day. But if Trump wants to drain the swamp, that's what he's got to drain. Congress and Senate, that's a joke. The administrators, that's the government. I didn't vote for him. Did you?